On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit. Welcome to Tall Can Sports.
Buenas noches.
Nachos.
Noches.
Yes, I know.
I know.
This is somewhat of an impromptu program, as Rob has showed up
because we need it
seething.
Really just looking for an excuse to yell and drink a beer.
Pick it up. See how nicely it can be done.
I like it. Yours is not nearly as flaccid as it usually is.
This is an IPA.
Of course it's an IPA. I told you it was an IPA.
I couldn't remember things.
Okay, but what do you honestly, you're not an IPA guy.
Not typically.
One's not going to kill you.
Nope.
But so
it's
this
not that I hate them. It's just I suggest this stems from, what, 2 weeks ago when you were coming over. You said, well, maybe I'll go grab us some of these aromatherapy. And I kind of said, you know, maybe not.
What is it?
Well, no, you had already explained it at this point. But, yeah, don't, you know, appreciate the gesture, but I wouldn't spend a ton of money on buying Matt an IPA.
Yeah, it's honestly, at the LCBO, it's a $4.50 can of beer you got in your hand right there.
Well, almost like a Mr. Brown.
See, there you go. Take that and run with it, big fella. Yeah.
I don't dislike it. I don't dislike a lot of them.
What are you getting off of it?
Well, you're putting me out. Let me go back to it. Why don't you carry this first?
Yeah, okay. Well, just take a swing on it there and see what you think, right? To me, it's and you get it to me before it even you drink any of it. It's sort of you inhale a little
of the aroma.
No, you're not getting anything off of that. You're not getting any citrus. Maybe a little.
It's like a Sprite.
It's not like a Sprite. But honestly, with a little peppery finish. It's quite nice.
I get that, yeah.
Yeah, but it has honestly, it's like a...
Well, let's shout them out. That's what we do here. Local brewery, right? It's the...
Beyond the Pale.
Beyond the Pale.
Which is downtown, sort of the Parkdale-ish area.
This is called aromatherapy, if you're into an IPA.
Yeah, and it's tasty, especially in the summer, warm weather. This is now, I think it's a 6.5%.
Oh, right? Giddy up.
Yeah.
I see why this has been supplied for what's about to come.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, you need to drink up before.
Yeah. Well,
Matt's
Matt's
loosened himself up for a little anal sex.
That was oddly direct and weirdly out of left field.
I'm going to get a couple stiff drinks into me. How's this show going to go?
I don't remember what half these buttons do, so I don't want to press them. I don't want one to be like, yes, 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 yes.
Woo-hoo!
I'd have to be...
Who was on crack? Yes.
Well, this is my only one I like at this point.
And it may really ease the...
Who was in crack?
So, yeah, worth a try.
Yeah.
Worth a try. Now, I was out to...
So, just you know, before you move on from it.
Yep.
I don't dislike it. It's not like I dislike every IPA. It's just if I'm going to go and spend $4 or $4.50,
yeah,
as you've mentioned, you know, you go with something that there's a higher probability you're going to enjoy, right? And so that's kind of my thing.
And really, and I knew.
I like to try things.
I knew your thing. Yeah, see, but
stop it. Stop. So.
At least three times.
So, I don't dislike it. But yeah, that's all it is.
Because it may grow on you.
Yeah.
Are we still talking about the beer, though?
Right. Well, we'll leave that up to the good listener. 6.5%, you say.
Yeah. So it's anyways, I've lost my train of thought.
You were out, or you were?
It was worth to me. I knew what your stance was on IPAs.
Yeah.
But yeah, just something a little interesting.
Well, I do, and I enjoy, like we said, especially. This summer, especially, I can't remember if I've brought this up on the show or not before, but just at some point, you keep trying all of these beers, and you know, I've got this app that a lot of people are using now, where you're kind of ranking them and rating them. And it was my mom who said to my old man and I when I was up at the lake not too long ago, because he's been, you know, the same thing, trying them. At some point, you keep ranking some of these really high, like. Go buy those again.
Are you not going to settle on those? Yeah.
Like you
when
clearly
I drank
like
all
that.
The beers in the world.
I'll know to come back.
I'll know where I'm going to settle.
Right.
Now, but, you know what? I'm sure anybody who listens to either you know,
yeah, we normally do this on audio
or Whiplash.
No, yeah.
And we promise we won't go on for long.
No. I don't promise that.
If you think, they just love everything. Okay. So I was at a local boite on Friday night, and I said to the lady, hey, what do you got on tap? And she goes, we have 40 beer on tap. Look at the menu. I'm like, all right, you're a douche.
Yeah, great service. Great service.
Yeah, and it's dim. And anyways, yeah. I wasn't loving that.
So was she.
Yeah. So the first one I had was a Belhaven Wee Heavy Scotch Ale.
It's just a wee heavy. Okay.
Garbage.
Okay.
Honestly, I had one sip of it. And I love Belhaven Black. That to me is an outstanding. It's a stout.
Yep.
This, yep. I had one pull on it and thought, ugh.
You didn't dig the rye ale either from Old Tomorrow when we tried that.
No, but this isn't so much. That was like rye. This is the grain that's used,
yeah,
right?
Okay.
It didn't have a scotch, like a heavy. But so... Didn't like that, and so I said, yeah, you know what, I'm not doing another one of those, but I'm out for dinner, right, which is usually a two beer.
Yep.
So I said, I want to switch it up. I said, give me something. I need something different than that, and I didn't want to crack out the menu again.
Yeah.
Start looking through it. So the next one was from BrewDog was something called Elvis Juice.
That's concerning.
And it wasn't good either, just so you know. So,
all right.
Not loving either of those choices. So for any of those people out there who think,
do you remember the brewery out of Elvis Juice or for
BrewDog?
Oh, sorry, you said that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, not loving either one of those. They would have both been rated very low.
Yeah, and so that's it. It's fun to try a bunch of different ones if you have an interest in it and whatever. But I do get the point where you know you're rarely drinking the same thing, even though you know what you're. You know, I could buy these three that I know I'm going to love, or I can. Open the mystery box, right?
Well, and you know what? The first time I tried this aromatherapy, I was at a place that had Guinness on tap. And that to me is, it's a go-to everywhere.
Of course.
But I went away from it, tried the Grimbergen Double, which is a Belgian. Then this, and I was pleasantly surprised with this.
Right.
Now, Friday of that same week, I went and had a couple Guinness. And man, I drink it and you think... It's like that thing you really love, be it a woman or a man, and you think, why do I go anywhere else?
Right.
This is magic.
Right.
And it's just
believe in magic?
Take a pull on it and you think, that's so good. So good. Anyways.
Sweet Caroline. So there is a main reason we're doing this show, but why don't we start with the other two topics.
Yeah.
First, we'll drop this. We'll make sure this gets out before Saturday night, which is the big fight, right? We've been talking about it all summer long.
Fight, 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 fight.
You and I have discussed it. Maddie's been on. Turns out he fancies himself and quite reasonably so, apparently, a bit of a boxing guy. He knows his stuff there. He was explaining some of the differences and that it might make when it comes to, you know, the weight of the gloves. And, you know, it was an interesting to listen to him talk about it. You can go back and check that out. I believe it's TCS 157.
Okay, I'd like to check it out. But yeah. What? Give me the Cole's notes.
So just in terms of the speed with which you can hit someone, right? It's not necessarily, I'm not going to do it justice, right? I would suggest people check out the other show. Yeah. But just in terms of how hard you're prepared to hit, right? At some point, McGregor's used to fighting in 4-ounce gloves, right? And he's going all the way to, what were they at, 10 or 12?
Eight they're going to.
No, I know, but when it started.
Well, see, I don't know. Matty weighed in on that. I thought they were 16-ounce gloves in boxing.
Yeah, no, that was.
And then he said something about
sparring. And it's got to do with your weight class. If you're this heavy, they have to be this big. And they got the Nevada State Boxing Commission to give them an exemption and go down to 8. So he said, so even in terms of a sense of fatigue, right, if you're used to boxing as much as McGregor does, right, in his general UFC career with a 4-ounce glove, you're going all the way up. Anything that comes back towards him helps him. Does it help him get far enough to, you know, swing the fight? Yeah,
Up Mayweather.
Right. But he, you know, we saw in those press conferences, Mayweather spouting off, you want to go, I don't care about how heavy the gloves are, let's go, you want to go to 4? Let's go to 4. And McGregor screaming in the background after they've cut his mic, you do care. Don't tell me you don't care. You do care, or we'd be doing this at...
Well, no, he was saying you do care. He was saying you do care, but we'll do this in an octagon. We'll do this with...
But this happened again with the gloves, right? And like Mayweather's doing a lot of big talking, right?
Yeah. And the thing is...
So the 8-ounce gloves just helps kind of McGregor. It's not quite as big of a leap for him, right? There's a little less... And as far as Mayweather's concerned, you know, we're getting a little closer to actually punching with his old brittle fucking hands, right? Like, he doesn't want to come down.
And that is the key to me, is his hands, right? Is the broken, they just, in terms of just how brittle they are.
Yeah.
He's gonna touch McGregor way more than McGregor's going to touch him.
I think so, too.
And so, the X factor is the hands. Now, I don't think they're that brittle.
Right.
Right? But... I still see this as Mayweather picking him apart. And I'll be interested to see what McGregor's strategy is if he comes out like he does in some of his MMA fights, guns blaring,
right?
You know, looking for an early knockout.
Do you see, I was just going to ask, is anybody getting knocked out in this thing?
Sadly, I think no.
I think this is 12 rounds.
Man, and if that's the case, I'm just... Wow, I'll be snoring by round 6.
We better make
6.
Sure we got a lot of beer here, because that could be a long fight. But
yeah, no, because I got to get up in the morning and I got to be gone.
And I didn't say it was for you.
Okay.
this is going to be, you know, I'm intrigued, and I think the fact that it's come down again in weight classes, I think what we saw with the box, Pauly Malignaggi, the guy who is going to call the fight, but is also a retired boxer who was in there sparring with him. What went down there was interesting in terms of, you know, there's been some talk on Pauly's side about how that happened, but McGregor knocking down and beating up a pretty good, you know, fighter or a pretty good boxer and in sparring. And I don't know, man. I think this is less of a joke in my eyes.
But the guy he was sparring was saying, but I kicked his ass 95% of the time.
And that's not the part they caught on video, right? Now, I get why you would only post that part of the video if you're Connor.
For sure.
But it also might be that the evidence suggests that wasn't the case, right? So who knows? And it's intriguing. I wish that was going to happen more often. And in most sports, it can't, right? But here's a guy who's going to call the fight who's got a little extra insight, right? Into that's a really interesting kind of thing for those of us who are going to watch it on TV. But
yeah.
No, I think this is maybe it's just the production. Maybe it's just the fact that, you know, the awesome job they've done marketing it. But there's something that it doesn't seem like as big of a joke to me as it did, you know, when they first announced it. Now, I was always more certain or more confident it was going to happen than you were. But you've been pretty steadfast from the beginning that this is going to be kind of a cakewalk for Floyd, and there's a lot of people who feel that way.
Yeah, I still don't see Mayweather not winning this fight.
Right.
Right, and I think if it does, especially if it goes the distance.
Yeah. You wanted to talk just before, again, we get to the main event. You had some names here, or you wanted to discuss.
Yeah, and it was really just, it was something brief, right, in terms of I was listening to something somewhere, and they were talking about, greatest NHL players who've never won a Stanley Cup.
Right.
And so I thought, oh, that's interesting, right? But some of the guys, and if you look at now, to me, guys coming out of the 80s especially, some of them have very gaudy point totals, right?
Yeah, you go any further back and everybody's got cups, right? The original six, everybody will fucking won at some point.
Unless you were a Maple Leaf.
That's really an ignorant thing to say.
Yeah, except for having won since.
Yeah, okay, but they won a pile in that original six, right? They won the last original six cup. And
that's just an ignorant thing to say.
All right. Pat LaFontaine.
Yeah, I don't have him on my list, no. But...
Jerome McGinley.
I don't have him on my list either, but...
I'm aiming too low, eh?
Not necessarily, because I got guys here, and not...
Austin Matthews.
Yes, Austin Matthews. Clearly the greatest player.
Obviously.
And some of these players are debatable in terms of greatness.
Eric Lindros.
Eric Lindros I absolutely have on this, right? Very low point totals, right, in terms of Lindros.
Well...
But his stats don't do him justice.
He's the type of guy you have to look at points per game versus straight points.
Right? Yeah, well, so. and just a little less than a point a game, I think. Okay. Or no,
I would be surprised by that.
But yeah, I would be surprised by that.
Well,
too.
He did actually stick around too long, right? I mean, the Toronto thing was whatever, but he went to Dallas after that, and
he had a crazy high points per game total early.
Yes,
right, and I know, and he won his Hart Trophy, but he won that
also
in
concussions per game.
Right, he won that Hart in the lockout shortened season.
Yeah, that doesn't mean much to me.
Right, which part?
He's got a Hart. Everybody played in the shortened season, and I don't care that it was a shortened year. The Devils certainly don't, right?
Well, because the playoffs weren't shortened.
Right. So.
Right. So that, but to me,
he was full value for it. And
okay, like Kadri. In the last shortened season, right, when he had
didn't win a Hart, probably should have.
No, but. But his point totals seem to be...
We just scored 30 goals this year in a full season.
No, I know, but I think he was a top 10 point getter in that.
He was around that, I don't remember. But I see where you're going, yes, and why you might question that.
Yeah, and so guys, I have guys in terms of interesting talking points. Ovechkin on this list, I think he certainly qualifies.
Yeah, because he's going to finish his career.
I think he's going to finish his career unless he goes somewhere else, right? If he stays in Washington,
as long as he's
which,
the centerpiece.
Which there's certain, there's definitely talk out there that says... He won't finish there.
Right.
What about Peter Stastny? You got any thoughts on Peter Stastny? What do you know about Peter Stastny?
I know that his absence hurts me in our next show.
Okay. And that's because he just totally dominated the 80s, right?
Yes.
In terms of scoring-wise, well, not Gretzky-esque, he had, as a guy who came to the NHL later, he had over 1,200 points.
Yeah. Insane.
Right, in terms of what he did in Quebec City in through the 80s, he was a prolific point getter.
Right.
Right, and now he had quite a career in the former Czechoslovakia, as you are likely well aware of. But to me, yeah, he was dynamite, and he's probably what helped Michel Goulet into a 40-50 goal scorer in Quebec City.
Someone had to.
Well, Michel Goulet, I think I had him on my all-Quebec team there down the lineup somewhere, but he had 500 goals.
It's really interesting to think about, best players without a cup. And this list, and I don't have it to back it up, maybe it's something we should, but it's got to be so different in the NBA. Like when we just recently did guys who, on Audio Whiplash, we recently did artists who never reached number one on the Billboard hit. And you go, yeah, of course they didn't on a lot of them, right? Like, they weren't any good.
That makes no sense to me. You'd even include that guy.
Like, even in terms of recent history, the last 10 to 20 years, who is the best player in the NBA? And, I mean, you and I aren't qualified to go down this, but they never won a – like, they all do, because it's so dominated by individual players. Kobe's got his, Shaq's got his, right? Durant's now got his, and Steph Curry's got his. LeBron, now they're all playing together at this point.
Right.
Steph Curry or LeBron obviously has his. What do we? Dwayne Wade's got his.
How about Paul George?
Yeah, mate. Right? Like, I don't know.
Ah.
Yeah, okay, but I have no idea. Those are the types of names that we're talking about.
And somebody out there, and Matty Lang, who's going, well, Paul George is not even in the top five
Chris
best
Paul
players.
Or whatever, right? Like,
yeah, so.
These are the types of guys where you're just going, yeah, okay, I get it. But it's only because they haven't teamed up with three other guys and turned a team into. Whereas in the NHL, you could have put Wayne Gretzky on the Hartford Whalers, and they were never going to win a fucking thing. Like, he still would be the best player in the world, but...
Hey, and since you brought this up and you've taken us down this shady NBA avenue, I just happened to be, I don't know, masturbation lost its appeal. There was...
Wow.
Top 10 Raptors of all time.
Okay.
Was rolling across.
Damon Stoudemire.
Okay, so I'm thinking... There's no way I'm going. Okay, so your top five has to be, and I'm thinking, okay, so Vince Carter,
Chris Bosh,
because there are homers, and it's got to be
Tracy.
You're gonna have DeRozan, and you're gonna have Lowry in there. They did.
DeRozan belongs
in the top five.
Okay,
they did. But I'm thinking you got to have Tracy McGrady in there.
Yep.
Tracy McGrady was like 7 or 8 on the list.
Because he burned them on the way out, so, you know.
Yeah, but so did Vince.
Yeah, of course, but, you know, he's a little more hard to deny.
But Tracy McGrady was awesome when he went to Houston.
For
he
sure.
was dominant.
For
and
sure.
Now, they had him, and he was saying, yeah, if he would have stayed, you know, he goes, there's a large part of me that wishes I would have stayed, but, man, Antonio Davis, I think, was 4 or 5 on the list.
Where's Charles Oakley?
Right? Yeah, okay, this is it. Oakley's getting beat down by Madison Square security staff. Anyways, I got no idea. I really don't, but I found it interesting.
Yeah.
There was a couple of things there that, you know, DeRozan was 2, though, on the list.
That is high, probably, for me, but...
Okay, all right. And anyways...
What do we know, right?
And, but and I totally preface this whole thing with...
Yeah, yeah.
Not an NBA, very casual.
But as we
you
do...
Know, Mo Pete was on the...
Hey, Muggsy Bowe is a former Raptor, right?
Like, he was 10, I think, or whatever it was. But Stoudemire, to me, Mighty Mouse...
Yeah.
Man, he was dynamite in his early Raptors
dynamite.
Days. Yeah, so I don't know. And again, I don't pretend to know, although I do...
Often
pretend is
see our next topic.
So anyways, but
that the only reason I bring that up, right, is it's such a team game, right? In the NBA, the top players win championships because they're the top players and they can dominate a game by themselves. In the NHL, if you had plunked Mario Lemieux onto, you know, the Islanders at that time or something, right? Like, it's not going to go well. So the best players to never win a cup are guys who, you know, Pavel Bure.
Well, I was going
to,
okay. Right? Like, so he's the first guy I thought, well, let's check him out, right? You know, he ranks 5th all-time in goals per game.
Yeah.
Which to me, I think, is probably the most, it's the greatest way to tell, right? It gives you the greatest indication, at least, of.
What he's doing.
They didn't win a cup, but the year that they went to the cup final, 94, when they lost to the Rangers, he had 16 goals in the playoffs.
Right. Those are almost Phil Kessel numbers.
Man. Like, to me, that just seems like, that's a lot.
Well, I remember because they played the Leafs in the Western Conference Final, and he was just...
lighting it up. How about Dino Cicerelli?
Yeah, I don't care about Dino.
Yeah, okay, no.
I've never been one of those guys who thought... I find him to be overrated.
Overrated.
Yeah.
608 goals.
Yeah.
Undrafted.
I'm not saying he's nothing.
Never drafted, right? Played in 2 cups. He played in that 95 cup where Detroit got blindsided by the Devils, right? That was supposed to be a sweep the other way.
Right. Oops.
And played with many as either in his first couple of years, right, when they lost to the Islanders in 81. But undrafted, 600 goals. Like, where's the scouting staff on that? In 21 different teams, you're like, what the? How does nobody go? Look at that plucky little bastard.
Take a chance on him.
Well, this is it. And there's a bunch of other guys, but to me, the one thing that was worth really pointing out was Mike Gartner. Now, he played a gazillion years.
Yeah.
But honestly, he had, where is it here? He's the only Hall of Famer to never play in a cup final or win a major trophy.
Does that mean like an individual trophy or like a world genius?
Yeah, like a Calder, a Lady Byng, like a Selkie.
Okay.
But never in a cup final, never a trophy, never a Hart, never an Art Ross, never a...
we call that the fucking Alex Ovechkin effect. I know he's got some rocket.
Sure. Yeah, he's got some trophies.
He's actually got a Calder too, so. But in terms of never getting your team over the hump.
Hey, right? How about this though? 17 30 goal seasons.
Yeah, that's not so bad.
What? Like that to me is...
Yeah.
That's
just
crazy
keep
consistent.
Getting it done. Just
likely
keep
only
getting it done.
Only beaten by Bossy's 9 straight 50 goal seasons.
Unreal, eh?
So now he's not on this list because
he won several.
He's
cups.
Bagged himself a couple of cups, right? But there's just some other guys, right? Like Dale Hawerchuk. That's another guy with 1,400 points.
Right.
Now again, killing it in the 80s when
playing in a division though with the Oilers.
Right, where you're losing 7-5.
Right.
Which is part of the deal, right? I got Matt Sundin on here. You got Paul Kariya. And Sundin, you can't discount the 1,350 points.
Yeah, it's pretty decent. And almost a point a game. Just over a point a game. Paul Kariya got to game 7 in that 0-3 final, right? Like
with Anaheim.
Yeah.
And they never should have been there.
No, that was honestly, all. That was the Jaguar show.
For
yeah.
sure. And one other person worth noting, I don't know how I skipped over him, 731 goals, 1,771 points. Look at those legs! Marcel Dion.
Ooh.
That was him with his inappropriate at the NHL Awards this year.
Oh.
And he's up there giving the award with the gymnast from Rio.
Uh-oh.
And he stands back, and that's what he's like, and look at those legs! All sweaty
all creepy
face.
Old man.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, and he stands back, and he points at them. You're like, yeah, you know what?
Should have just hauled off and slapped him. I'd have watched that.
Yeah, Marcel, we get what you don't need to point at them.
Yeah.
We get it.
You creepy old fuck.
Yep. Although, and he's fleshy-faced, you know. He's in Vegas with all the other French people. Likely enjoying some. Yep. All right. hanging out with Celine.
So let me set the table here and then I'm going to let you take over.
You're not.
Yes, I'm
going to let me take over.
No, I'm going to cover up and turtle here as you. So earlier this week, the NHL Network puts out a list of the top 20 centers in the National Hockey League. Had I been more prepared, I would have that list here, but I do not.
Right here, my good man.
Attaboy. So,
let's just throw the list out and let the listener marinate in it.
Okay.
And just, I'm not going to give you the number. I'm just going to go from 1 through 20.
Yeah.
Okay. So, from best to slightly
not
as good. But obviously, if it's the top 20 centers in the NHL,
right,
you're all good on this list. Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, Geno Malkin, Austin Matthews, Nick Backstrom, John Tavares, Steve Stamkos, Tyler Seguin, Ryan Getzlaff, Mark Scheifele, Patrice Bergeron, Jonathan Taves, Anze Kopitar, Jack Eichel, Leon Draisaitl, Ryan Johansson, Alex Barkov, Jeff Carter, Evgeny Kuznetsov, Sean Monahan.
Can I just, before we get into this,
you certainly can.
Really bugs me the way Alexander Barkov spells his name. He's got an S after the X, and that's just fucking stupid.
Well, because when I was looking up his stats, I couldn't find him.
Right.
Now, there was another Alexander Barkov, a Russian guy,
right,
who played in the 80s.
Alexs.
Yeah.
Fucking stupid.
Alexander.
So.
Which is also the most Russian-sounding Finnish name ever.
That's true, man.
Okay.
Although I have a great Swedish one that you'll all get to hear on the next one.
Okay.
Bonus points if you can guess it right now.
Russian sounding Finn?
Swede.
Doug Murray.
not Sudbury sounding Russian.
Anyway, we'll come back to
it. Yeah. Okay. So I forwarded this along to you with a couple of my own thoughts. I believe I had one, Shifley too high, Sagan too low. I can't remember what else. Yep. Your response was simply, bah! So I guess one rookie of the year, and we've all settled that Austin Matthews is the fourth best center in the league. Fairly reasonably.
And there was a, I'm not going to step away from it. I was also flabbergasted. Well, okay. That's
we throw that word around too
little,
easily.
Little hyperbole there.
Yeah.
That they've already just given Connor McDavid the number one slot.
Yeah.
Right? Good, honestly, but to me, I think
100-point season. He's coming out of last year.
For sure. Yeah. No. And I'm just saying I'm still willing to give that spot for his complete game to Sid Crosby. Right.
I think I am too. But I think by Christmas, we both may be going, uh-oh.
Yep. Okay. So. And I'm saying I'm likely putting McDavid too. I'm just saying I'm looking at switching those top two guys at this moment.
I get it. Yeah. And I think I am too.
But and you know what? It's also worth noting that clearly, Austin Matthews belongs on this list. I'm not suggesting he needs to be shown the door. Hey, pretender.
Or Sean Monahan's, please. Yeah,
pretender. Get out, you know? I don't take any umbrage with the fact that Turris isn't on this list. You know, nothing like that.
You've said all along, bottom third, top line center, which means you don't make the top 20.
For sure. And so,
especially when some of these whores are getting two centers on the same list.
To me, I'd like to hear why. Maybe you could explain to the good listener, I do take serious issue with him being in the four hole.
Okay. So the other thing that I think
he's outside the top 10.
So there is no statistical ranking that would back that up.
Okay. Well, you give me something that puts him in there.
Okay. He finished eighth in points amongst centers this past season and finished second in goals amongst centers this past season, which means neither of those puts him outside of the top 10.
So are you going strictly by points?
I'm saying points is a pretty good way to measure things like these, right? So the only thing I was going to say before you started here, and it was legit of you to do so, was we don't really – all it says is the top 20 centers in the league. Was it the top 20 coming out of last season? Is it the top 20 we expect going into this season? It was a somewhat ambiguous, right?
Yeah.
But we can still kind of work around this. If we assume that Austin Matthews is going to improve on a rookie season, which most guys do, you know, over the course of their career.
You see him scoring more than 40 goals next year?
No. I see him scoring more than 70 points, though.
Do you see him sneaking up on anybody next year?
No, but I don't think he snuck up on anyone this year after lighting up the Sens for four in game one.
Do you think he played on the Leafs' number one line?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Really?
Yes.
You think his line mates of what, Hyman and Brown?
He had Brown for a little while, but it was mostly him, Nylander, and Hyman.
Okay. I think you're going to see that guy.
There was a lot of lip service paid by Mike Babcock to, he's going to play on the third line at least till Christmas and whatnot. In game one, he had the most ice time of any Leaf forward. Now, I get he was hot and whatever, but that didn't last.
We all saw that.
He was sheltered defensively, I think, is what they kind of meant by that. Kadri ate those hard minutes. Some of that's going to have to go away. But he's going to play with a Nylander who's better. Most likely, Marleau is going to play with him. That will be better than Hyman. I don't think he gets 40 goals again, but I think he's probably in around 35. And I think he's getting past 80, 85 points.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
So then in a redraft today... Are you taking him over Backstrom, Tavares, Stamkos, or Seguin?
Those are the four guys right behind him. But that's the only reason I say that's tough is I don't remember what their stats were coming. They were all very good, right? Coming out of junior.
Could I help you with that?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Well, I don't have Stamkos because to me he's a wild card, right? We talked about him.
We also don't even know if he's a center.
Well, he is a center. But in terms of So
John Cooper might disagree.
Are you going strictly on stats? And that's what I had asked you before, right?
I know you badly want me to shoot myself in the foot here so you can start raining down blows.
No, because to me,
if it's stats, if it's just stats, he is easily inside the top 10 that you have said he's out of.
So how about if we look at this, just this, names off, just stats.
Okay.
40 goals, 29 assists, 69 points.
Mm-hmm.
Even player. Plus two, right? Even.
Yep. Plus two.
Player. Yep. Plus two. Yep. Okay.
It's not even.
No. All right.
We're taking those two.
Player two. Okay. Also played in 82 games, mm-hmm. right? Which it's worth noting, Austin Matthews played a full 82 games.
Yep.
Player two, 82 games, 29 goals, 48 assists, 77 points.
Sounds like Tyler Seguin.
Plus 20.
That's pretty good.
Then you have player three, only 61 games, 24 goals, 33 assists, 57 points. So 57 points in 61 games.
That actually sounds like Tyler Seguin. I forgot he got in his heel.
Would you say those three sets of stats are comparable?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
Well, what do you want from me here?
Yeah, would you throw a hoop around those and say those three guys probably belong together in the list?
I think everyone in that top 10 belongs together in that list.
Well, those guys are number 14 and 15.
Okay.
Eichel and Draisaitl.
I got Eichel probably in the top seven.
So all I'm saying is, to me, you can't just go by points.
Plus, Draisaitl got something like 62% of his points playing on McDavid's wing. So
the playoffs say different. They didn't play together, and Draisaitl outscored McDavid.
Yeah, okay. McDavid's taken up all those top-end defensemen and checking line. I'm in an 82-game season, right? Draisaitl racked up a pile of his points playing either with McDavid or with McDavid taking those hard defender minutes away. Matthews was out in front on everything.
What means more to you, regular season or playoffs?
In this type of debate, probably. No. In this type of debate, it has to be the season because not all of these guys made the playoffs.
Yep, true.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. So to me, I think that's right where you go. He's nicely nestled in with those three guys. So either those other two guys are misranked. So then you look at Tavares. We've already talked about him. Ranked behind Austin Matthews.
You think he should be, when we debated his...
You talked about what you would have to give up for Tavares.
Yeah. Yep. And I think he can be better than what he's been on the island with a better supporting cast. You were, I think probably for the sake of that argument, trying to pull his value down to make...
That's what I do, baby. That's
a potential trade cost a little less, right? But
yeah. Nick Backstrom.
That's a really interesting one just because... I think he's been overshadowed for a long time by Ovechkin, but man, I think he's what really makes Ovechkin go.
He's averaged in nine seasons 80 points.
Yeah.
And he had an 89-point season last year.
No, he's fantastic.
So, yeah. And then if you throw in behind him, and this, I think, is where we get to the meat of this conversation, you said Mark Scheifele is never going to score that many points again.
That might bite me down the road.
Well, and I look at it, so... And
especially if he's going to play with Line A.
And what you're referring to is, yeah, he had 82 points last year.
Yeah. Right? I don't think he's a point-a-game guy.
With 32 goals. However, in his four seasons in the NHL, or his last four, 34 points, 48 points, 61 points, 82 points. We've seen a natural progression through those four.
Yep.
Right? So to me, that doesn't speak of somebody...
Yeah, I was had some crazy out of the blue.
Yeah, you're like, well, look at that guy. Whereas he was a blue chipper coming out of Barry.
In his rookie year, he had 34 points. What did Matthews do in his rookie year?
Yeah, okay. So
69.
All right. So we looking at just rookie years?
I'm just
Are we looking at just one year and it being last year?
All around me, and I'm just trying to piss some of them out.
I know. And as I said to you, to me, he's on the list. For sure. And what is he going to be in the future? I don't know.
What is it that you have over there as you throw around a lot of... Because all these guys are obviously very good. That's why they're on the list.
So, but
what is it that's making you so certain he's not in the top 10?
Because I just named the guys behind him, and the one X factor I have in there that I'm willing to talk about is the Scheifele debate. And are we looking at Scheifele's rookie year, or are we looking at last year going into this year, which is what you stated?
I stated I don't know what this list is.
Okay, it's last year or it's coming into this year. It's one of the two of them because he only played.
That's right.
So to me, you can't discount Scheifele on that when he's shown the nice.
So you have a number 4 or 5 overall pick in the TCA fantasy hockey draft, and you'd be willing to take Mark Scheifele.
You know what? Depending on what's been taken ahead of me, sure. Why not? Scheifele's been a plus player on a team that has...
I don't care about plus minus, but listen, honestly,
82 points, and he's been on a team that's only made the playoffs once in the last 100 years.
Whose side does that go to?
That goes to... It firmly goes on his side.
Get
some goaltending. That's what that is. Okay, and before we move away from this...
Yeah, and I don't... Because... Here's the thing, I'm going to say this because we're going to do some previews, and I buried Winnipeg in our previews last year. Winnipeg's going to suck again this year.
Okay.
Patrick Laine is very good. Mark Scheifele is also pretty good. Beyond, what is Blake Wheeler like?
Big fat slowing down.
Dustin Byfuglien.
Yeah.
That's right. They suck. They're not going to be good again.
Okay. And to me, I want to... Yeah, as soon as you said that, I knew we were right on the same pile there. Bam. Is you take a look at the 11 and 12 guys, and I have time for the conversation in that range, right? The Scheifele through to Draisaitl. To me, that's a doable conversation, 10 through 15.
So
11 and 12.
Hit us with 5 through 12 again, just quickly, if you've got it there, because...
I do.
Yeah.
So the guys immediately behind him...
We're okay here with Crosby, Malkin, and McDavid. We can shuffle them around if you want.
Backstrom, Tavares, Stamkos, Seguin, Getzlaff, Scheifele.
Getzlaff getting slower.
For sure.
Matthews getting more points than him this year. If Tavares is playing this year on the island, Matthews getting more points than him this year. And show me when Tavares can play more than a month and a half. Stamkos can play more than a month and a half.
Right. So what about Taves? What about Taves and Bergeron, who are 11 and 12 on this list?
I love both those guys. I want both those guys on my team. But that's where this debate gets harder, is because they do very different things.
You look at their points. They're both putting up solid point numbers and checking top line centers on the other side.
Last season, what were those point numbers?
Last year, would you say would? What's your feeling on Jonathan Taves? You think he struggled last year?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
I have a feeling you have numbers that say I'm wrong, but.
Well, no. I think he's averaged 25 goals, 65 points in his career. He had 59 points last year.
Yeah, okay.
He had a slow start last year, is what it was.
But both of those guys do their jobs or do what they're known for better than Austin Matthews does.
65 points for Bergeron last year, too.
Okay, so same range, right?
So you are talking about guys who are elite face-off guys and penalty killers.
And that's what we do on these sorts of debates, right? Is do you want the guy who puts up a buttload of points, or do you want the guy who plays the all-around but way less points?
Okay, so those two point totals are in that same Matthews range.
Yep.
So...
19 years old, man.
You want the 200-foot studs?
19 years old.
Yeah, okay. We're talking about this year. I'm not talking about Austin Matthews in 5 years. To me, I take issue with where he is in this 2017-18 list. Man, he could be number one.
Yeah,
he could be number one next in 5 years.
Of course. Probably not.
Good listener. Good listener.
You're talking about...
Let us know.
Why... I just don't think you've shown me enough to knock him out of the top. I can see you knocking him out of the top four. I told you I was willing to go, yeah, okay, I don't think he's a hard, locked-in number four, but I can't imagine how a guy has a rookie season that has him in the top 8 in points and top 2 in goals, and you go, he's out of the top 10. That's my...
Right. So do you think he is going to... Here's the question, right? And we can throw Scheifele in the list. These are all guys ranked... You look at Matthews, Scheifele, Eichel, Draisaitl. Rank them in points next year.
So Matthews, Draisaitl, Eichel, and...
Scheifele.
Okay. Goes Matthews.
Matthews will have the top point.
Yes.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
Not a chance.
You're that confident that he's that much better than all of those guys.
That he's not that much better than all those guys. I put him at 3 maybe. Maybe.
He's better. He's ahead of Scheifele. He's ahead of Draisaitl. Although that one scares me just because of the power play that Draisaitl's going to play on. And I forgot again who's the
Eichel.
Other. You know what? Eichel's going to be ahead of Scheifele too.
Okay, but that's not what I asked.
I know. But if I'm ranking them.
Yep.
Matthews 1, Eichel 2.
And really, I just wanted to put Eichel. I mean, I Matthews in that list.
Yeah, I know you do.
Because I think there's a very good chance Matthews finishes 4th in that list.
I think there's a very good chance that you're fucking stupid.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Red goggles.
Who doesn't love this kind of debate,
yeah,
though?
Fuck.
Eh?
And I hope some of you are out there yelling at your radios and getting all squirmy on the GO train into work. Yeah, fucking whatever.
Yeah.
The GO train people are on my side, you know
yeah,
that.
Of course they are. Of course they are.
Shout out GO train people. Love you. Yeah.
But just listen and just look at it and think outside without your blue goggles on, people.
So here's the real.
Here's the rub.
No. Here's the real thing that we're arguing about right now and as we wrap this up.
Yep.
You've got him outside the top 10 centers in the NHL. I've got him inside the top 10 centers in the NHL. I've never said he is the fourth best center in the NHL, but I have email
that says he could easily be in the top five.
Yeah, I believe that.
And I'm saying, as I said to you in the response, you take the word easily out and
you never said that in your
response. I did. No. I will forward it on to you.
I cannot wait.
He could easily be in the top five centers. And I said, or you have, he could be in the top five centers in the league.
No.
One word makes a huge difference.
Fine.
I have that.
Fine.
I will absolutely send that to you.
Cannot wait to find that.
Because to me, it's the easily. It's the addition of easily. He could easily be. And you're like, no.
He could easily blow his ankle out on opening night.
Let's hope that happens.
My worst nightmare come true. All of a sudden, Zach Hyman's our number one center.
Right on, man.
Marlowe and Nylander.
Anyways, that is just a little. I was like, come on, man. We can't be
firing this around on an email. This has to be on the show.
This is it. That's why I said, yeah, come on. We're gonna show up in the studio and we're gonna talk about this like men.
Or like boys with beers.
This is it.
Whatever.
Exactly. Who cares?
That's Tall Can Sports.
See ya.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at Tall Can Audio.